Two questions that'll make you a statistically significant marketer.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
It's the Conversion Scientist Podcast. I'm Brian Massey, the Conversion Scientist. This article appeared on July 24th, 2014 on Marketingland. You'll find it at www.marketingland.com. Yay, statistics! Now, if you run any portion of an online marketing program, you better still be listening. Marketers who don't embrace the porcupine of statistics over the next couple of years run the risk of becoming insignificant. If you're still listening, I'm about to put your career or business on the fast track to statistical significance. Let's consider three scenarios. Scenario one, the failing email list. Prim just completed sending the monthly email to her company prospect list of 3,000 people. Last month, she got 31 inquiries from the email. This month, however, she only got 20. Sales is complaining about the low number of leads. She's feeling the heat. What happened? Has Prim's email list finally been tapped out? And what will she tell her boss? Scenario 2, the supercharged landing page. Duke's landing page gets 20,000 visits each month like clockwork. From his traffic flow, it has been delivering 350 leads for his business each month. One day, Duke stumbled across this column and decided he could open the sales spigot even wider by trying some different things on the site. He made some tweaks to his landing page and relaunched it. Shazam! He got 200 leads in the first 15 days of the month. At this rate, he'll get 400 leads this month, one of the biggest months ever. Duke has found a winner for sure. Or has he? Scenario 3, the 95% confidence split test. Trey completed a split test and one of his treatments has reached a magical level of confidence of 95%. The test reports a 23.49% lift in conversions. That's big. Trey tells his boss, who tells his boss, who brags about it to his wife. Trey boldly made the changes permanent on the site and then crickets. No big change in his orders or revenue from the previous period. What happened? Why will Trey's boss's boss have to tell his wife he's not a winner? Understanding statistical significance. In marketing, collecting data is about one thing, predicting the future. If data is a crystal ball, then we marketers are gypsy women reading its visions. To predict the future, we have to ask two questions. One, is the data actually telling me what happened in the past? And two, is the data good enough to predict what will happen in the future? For Prim and her email list, the questions are, was there really a significant decrease in my email response rate? And can I expect this to happen again in the following months? For Duke and his landing page, the questions are, was there really a significant increase in my leads? And can I expect the last half of this month to deliver the same results? For Trey and his split test, the questions are, did I really see a 23.49% increase in conversions? And if all my visitors see this new treatment, will more of them become leads? In short, we're asking, can I believe what my data tell me? And if so, will it apply to larger numbers of people in future time periods? Can I believe my data? The statistics we're going to use are first going to answer the question, is my sample size big enough? Size matters in statistics. There are two sample sizes we marketers are interested in. We want to understand if the number of impressions we generated was sufficient to predict the future, and we also want to know if the number of transactions we generated can predict the future. You can replace the word impressions with visitors or email recipients. You can also replace the word transactions with conversions. So is Prim's email list big enough to predict the future? Is 31 or 20 responses enough to tell what will happen if she sends another email? For Duke, is 20,000 visitors and 350 conversions enough to be a crystal ball for his business? Were there just too few visitors and conversions in Trey's split test? Let's talk about fat short bells and tall skinny bells. These questions can be easily answered by calculating the probability that our data is giving us an accurate conversion rate. So when we graph this probability, we get what we call a bell curve. The odds of us getting a 0% or 100% conversion rate anytime we send traffic to one of our sites or send an email is basically zero. But Trey's data says that the odds of getting a 9.99% conversion rate are high. Our graph is higher in the middle and lower on the ends. This gives it the bell shape. When we graph the bell curve for any data, we can get a curve that is either short and fat or skinny and tall. Now, since we have these amazing things called computers, I'm not going to take you through any of this math. I am going to show you how to understand it. In each of our scenarios, we're interested in the conversion rate expressed as a percentage. So in Prim's case, her conversion rate has been 31 inquiries from 3,000 emails sent. That's a conversion rate of 1.1%. If this data predicts the future, then we would expect her next email to deliver a 1% conversion rate. However, we can see that she got 20 inquiries from her most recent email. This is a conversion rate of just 0.7%. So what is the probability of her getting a 1% conversion rate in her next email? What is the probability of her getting a 0.7% conversion rate in her next email? This is what our bell curve tells us. So if you go to marketingland.com and find me in the analytics and marketing section, you'll see a graph. And the graph estimates the probability that Prim's next email will deliver any conversion rate between 0% and around 2%. It is most probable that she'll get about a 1% conversion rate. It is pretty probable that she'll get a 0.7% conversion rate too. This is because her bell curve is short and fat. Her conversion rate could be all over the map from month to month. Short, fat bells come from sample sizes that are small. In her case, 31 conversions is a really small sample size. The data just can't predict the future with a whole lot of accuracy. Compare this to the graph for Duke. With 20,000 visitors and 350 conversions, his bell curve is taller and skinnier. The odds of him seeing a conversion rate below 1.5% next month is very small, while the odds of him repeating his 1.7% conversion rate are very high, higher than the probability of Prim seeing 1.1% again. What do you predict the bell curve to look like for Trey? Yes, it's shorter and fatter than Duke's, but a little taller than Prim's. While he has fewer impressions for each treatment, he has a higher number of conversions, making his sample size more predictier. You should spend some time playing with the excellent tool from my good friends at Online Dialogue. It's called the A-B Test Guide Statistical Significance Calculator, and you can get that at abtestguide.com/calc. It will show you how the bell curve changes when you enter different sample sizes for impressions and conversions. It expects two results, but for now, just enter in the same values for the A and the B scenarios and play with the bell curves. Let's define short and thin. There are some numbers we can use to determine how short, fat, tall, or skinny our curve is, and thus our ability to tell the future. If we have a really fat, short curve, it will have a big standard deviation. You could tell if a man was short and fat if I told you the ratio of his pant inseam to his belt size. Likewise, the standard deviation tells us something about how fat and short our curve is. But what if the man was tall and really, really fat? He might have the same inseam to belt size ratio as a short, less fat man. Standard deviation will let us calculate the span of our bell curve. Looking at Duke's curve on marketingland.com, most of his curve lies between 1.5% and 2.0%. We can calculate the range using the standard deviation. Our tool doesn't give us the actual confidence interval, which is what we call this, but we can eyeball it as between 1.56% and 1.93%. All things being equal, we'd expect Duke's conversion rate to fall between these two numbers. Anything that falls outside of this leads us to believe that something has changed. Something has caused visitors to behave differently. to understand how short and fat your curve is relative to your sample size, we calculate the standard error, which you will see with the statistical significance calculator tool. Whenever you use a tool that gives you graphs with a range bar, imagine the bell curve in your mind over the range bars. This is really what they are. Our tool also calculates the standard error for us. If standard error is high, then our bell curve is shorter and fatter. For Prim, the standard error of her emails is 0.00185. On the other hand, Duke has a standard error of 0.00093, about half that of Prim. Duke has a higher chance of seeing his 1.7 conversion rate, or something close to it, next month than Prim does of seeing 1.1% again. We'll use the standard error next month when we calculate the Z-score. So what is your standard error? You can calculate it and let us know. Visit MarketingLand and enter it in the comments. Once again, go to the tool at abtestguide.com/calc to calculate yours. So does a change mean anything? If we believe our sample sizes allow us to predict the future sufficiently, we can begin making changes to our pages and measuring the results. This is where statistical significance can really lead us toward making more money and away from the rocks of bad decisions. You are now a better marketer, but we won't stop here. Next month, we'll find out if Prim should be nervous about her drop in email responses. We'll deduce the odds of Duke having a big month and explore what happened to Trey's big win. Here's a challenge question. Go to MarketingLand.com and let us know the answer to this question in the comments. How is Prim's sample different from Duke's and Trey's? How is Prim's email sample different from Duke's and Trey's? We look forward to seeing you on MarketingLand. Thanks for listening. If you'd like us to come in and help you understand what changes are going to make you more money on the web, that's what we do at Conversion Sciences. Visit us at www.conversionsciences.com.